the band was up here playing, I thought about it when I planted a church many, many years ago. And that's how we ran into Daniel. Daniel answered an ad that we put out looking for a drummer. So Daniel shows up and says, "Hey, I can play drums." So we added him to our group and he started playing drums for us. And a year or two later, I'll never forget, I walked into church one Sunday morning and was, you know, the band was there getting ready to practice and warm up and get ready. And I walked in and there was this like curly-haired teenager asleep across the chairs. I was like, "We got homeless people now in our church? Like what's going on here?" And I was like, "Who is this guy?" And Daniel's like, "Oh, that's my younger brother." I was like, "Oh, I didn't even know you had a brother." And so that came like the very first time when I think of Aaron, the first time I met him, he was asleep in our chairs. And Aaron started coming to our youth group. And then several years later, we were having a youth group meeting and Aaron was there and the youth group meeting had ended and I had my back turned and I'll never forget this. I started hearing like this song. I don't even remember what the song was. It was like some kind of Motown song or something, right? I don't know. Ain't No Mountain High. I don't know what it was, but I was just like, "What?" And I turned around and looked and it was Aaron. And I was like, "Hold up, you can sing?" And he was like, "Yeah." He's like, "I'm practicing." He's like, "I'm getting ready to go try out for American Idol." And he was like, "This is a song I'm going to sing." And we were like, "Holy cow." And I was like, "That's it. We're getting a youth band right now." And I was like, and we didn't have anybody who could play anything. I told Daniel, I was like, "You just find some teenagers. Let's just throw them up here. Your brother's singing." And that's what we did, right? We had like some chick playing bass. She never played. She didn't know what she was doing. She was just up there. I mean, we just had kids, but we just let Aaron sing and it was absolutely incredible. So it was kind of cool today to like sit there again. And I'm like, this takes me back to like, I don't know, like 2010. I don't know when it was, but it was like you two up here helping lead like a youth band and doing your thing. And so to see how far you've come and Daniel, you, it's just incredible. So that's a walk down memory lane with Mike G. So that story's done. So now we'll move on to Jesus. All right. We are continuing our series that we started a couple weeks ago, just basically looking at the idea of response. And we looked at this through the life of Daniel. I mean, I don't know if there's anyone in the scriptures who responded better to life that was a human, right? I'm not talking Jesus. I'm talking to all the rest of us. I don't know if there's anybody in the scriptures who responded better than Daniel responded to the adversities in his life. Because what we do is we react, right? Something happens to us, we just immediately react. We get angry, we react. You know, something happens, we react. Something bad happens, we react. But there's a difference between reacting and responding. Reacting a lot of times can be based on our immediate feelings or our emotions. Response means I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to think about what I'm about to say. I'm going to think about what I'm about to do and then I'm going to go through with it, right? It's response. And Daniel responded throughout his whole life. Every time things come up, from am I going to eat tainted food for other gods or am I going to turn that down? Am I going to interpret dreams? Or even last week, am I going to go into this lion den, you know, peacefully, right? Or fight it off or whatever? He responded. He never reacted. Everything was a response. So a lot's happened in Daniel's life. You know, he was taken away as a young boy. He was kidnapped, essentially, by Babylon. And the Babylonians wanted to take, you know, find the best of the best kids and see if they could train them to be good Babylonian leaders. And ultimately, you know, Daniel kind of made it through the ranks there. He stayed true to the calling that he had on this earth. But more importantly, he stayed true to God. So a lot of times in his job, he was faced with certain things. And he said, "I'm doing what God called me to do." He put me to the test. See what happens. And every single time, that response was met with reward from God. Every single time. So it went from the Babylonians to the Persians. I mean, just, you know, nation after nation, king after king. And it went on and on and on. And last week, when we talked about Daniel in the lion's den and kind of this idea again, after 75 years now, right? 75 years old, Daniel. He's not a young guy being thrown into the lion's den. He's an old guy. Again, he had a choice. Am I going to respond or am I going to react? And how am I going to respond? This week, we're looking at chapter 10. He's a little bit older. He's probably between 90 and 100 at this point. Again, we're not talking about young Daniel. We're talking about an old man that has spent a lot of years essentially in captivity. And throughout this time, he's been praying. He's been praying the same thing for essentially 100 years. And for 100 years, nothing has happened. And if that's you this morning, then let this be a message of hope. Because I think for all of us, we all have something in our lives that we've been praying for a long time that just hasn't come to fruition. It just hasn't happened yet. And maybe we're ready to give up. Maybe we're ready to throw in the towel. Maybe we're angry. Maybe we're jealous because other people's prayers are getting answered. I don't know where we're at. But we can react to unanswered prayers, or we can respond. And that's what we're going to look at right this morning, Daniel's response to 100 years of unanswered prayers. So if you would this morning, pray for me as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now. We just thank you again so much for allowing us to be part of this community of Project Re3, to be part of this church, to be able to bring in our imperfect lives into your perfect presence each and every week. Lord, I pray this morning that as we examine the things in our lives that maybe we've long given up on because it just didn't seem like it was ever going to happen, Lord, let us be inspired by the story of Daniel, his response to decades of what seems like quietness from you. Lord, speak to us this morning. Challenge us to not give up on our prayers, to not give up on the visions that you've given us in our hearts. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So how do you respond when it seems like God is not responding to you? Think about it. How do you respond when you feel like I've been praying this, and I don't feel like God is listening? I don't see any way that God's going to answer this prayer. How do you respond when it seems like God is not responding to you? I mean, you get angry, right? God, you kind of old shake your fist at God. God, why aren't you hearing me? Why isn't this thing happening? And this thing could be anything. It could be finding Mrs. Right or Mr. Right, right? You've been looking forever, you've been dating forever. You're trying to find somebody, trying to find that special person, and you just can't find him. God, why can't I find someone to spend the rest of my life with? Maybe you're with someone, and you're just like, man, we just want kids, right? We've been trying, God. Like my husband and I, my wife and I, we've just been trying, and we want kids so badly, and we just can't get pregnant. God, when is this going to happen? Maybe you've been praying for a career change. And I hate my job, God. I hate what it's doing to me. I hate the stress. I hate all this kind of stuff. Man, I've been looking for other jobs. I put out 100 applications. Nobody's calling me back. Maybe it's emotional healing. Maybe it's mental healing. Maybe it's physical healing. Things that you've just been praying for that maybe nobody else knows about but you. The struggles you have each and every day of your life with anxiety and depression and all those types of things. God, when are you going to relieve this from me? We get angry because they're not being answered. Or maybe we get jealous because we see somebody else's prayer request being answered. Like they were praying for somebody and they found somebody. They were praying for a kid and they got a kid. They were praying for a new job and they got a new job. They I know they were depressed and all of a sudden now they seem happy, right? Like, man, God, why can't I have that? And once we get angry, once we get jealous, then we just give up. Well, you know what? Maybe just God, there's something wrong with me. God ain't going to hear this prayer. I give up. And we just let it go. And that's what happens to us. And this is not a surprise to you guys. We live in a microwave world, right? We want everything right now. We want anything instantaneous. We don't believe that God is the God of the slow cooker, right? You know, you just throw it in there and let it cook for a while and we'll see what happens. But when you read the scriptures, outside of like sporadic miracles, and I'm not going to sit here and say I understand why God answers miracles in some people's lives and not in others. I do not know. But all I know is there's miracles in the Bible, but there's a lot fewer miracles in the Bible than there are. Wait. Be patient. It's coming. It's a slow cooker. It's not a microwave for you. Just wait. But man, we don't want to wait, do we? We want it right now. We want to find that special person right now. We want a kid yesterday. We want a new job tomorrow. You know, all of these things. We want it now. And when we see other people get it, not us, man, we get upset. And so here's Daniel, man. He's been praying since he was a boy. And he was taken into captivity by the Babylonians, taken away from his family. And as a young boy was told, you're going to study us. You're going to study the way we lead. And you're either going to become the best of the best to become a Babylonian leader, or you're just going to go into slavery. That's a lot of pressure on a kid. Daniel took it with stride. He trusted God. He moved forward. And yeah, there was hiccups along the way, and there was trials along the way, and there was challenges along the way. But he never, ever once, that we can see in the scriptures, wavered in his integrity. He was true to who he was. He was honest with the people he worked with and worked for. And he, more importantly, he had integrity with God. He did exactly what God told him to do. But you don't think over that course of time, over these 70, 80, 90 years of his life that he was in captivity, he wasn't like, God, when are you going to set me free? I mean, you think about it. We talked about it the very first week. The Babylonians came in. They destroyed Jerusalem. They tore down the temple. They tore up all the artifacts that they could find. They basically wanted to say, you know what? Everything Israel had is now gone. All Daniel wanted was his nation restored. All he wanted was Jerusalem to be made right. All he wanted was a temple again for his God. That's all he wanted. And don't you think, king after king, and he went through a bunch of kings. Don't you think every time he thought to himself, oh, this new king is going to do it. This new king is going to let me go. This new king is going to let my people go. This new king is going to let us rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, make a place for our God again. Kind of like when you have a really bad boss at your job, right? And the boss leaves and you're like, all right, this new boss is going to be great. And the new boss is worse than the old boss, you know? And you're just like, oh man, what am I going to do? That's kind of it. He kept hoping and praying and waiting, decade after decade, king after king, that maybe this is going to be the time. And that's where we pick up in chapter 10. I'm going to walk through this. We're going to go verse by verse through this for not the whole chapter, but a good portion of the chapter. So I'm going to try to explain this as simply as I can for you guys to understand the incredible message of what's going on here in Daniel's life. Verse 10, chapter 10, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. So again, Daniel is that guy. He's getting visions. He interprets dreams. We learned last week, you know, Cyrus ultimately kind of became this follower of God. Because of what happened with Daniel in the lion's den, he had to have thought, man, this is it. This is going to be our way out. And now all of a sudden here in chapter 10, he has another dream. And this dream that Daniel has looks terrible. It's not a dream of restoration. It's a dream of war. It's not a dream of peace, but it's a dream of conflict. Things are about to get worse before they get better. And then we see in verse 2 and 3, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. How long is 3 weeks? 21 days. That'll come back later. For 3 weeks, I mourned. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Essentially, he fasted for 21 days. He took 3 weeks of his life, 21 days, and he just fasted. I'm not going to drink wine. I'm not going to eat choice meat. And when he talks about no lotions around me, basically he didn't take a bath, right? Like, I encourage fasting among you guys, but if you choose not to bathe, we have a wonderful online community. You can just sit at home. That's fine. Come back after you bathe. That'd be best. He was like, look, I'm not eating. I'm not drinking. I ain't bathing. I am going to fast for 21 days. And why did he do this? Because he thought, maybe the reason that I'm not getting through to God, maybe there's something here that's blocking me. I need to cleanse my soul of anything that could be hindering me or putting up a roadblock between me and God. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you took any amount of time in your life and said, I'm getting rid of the clutter? Anything at all that may be distancing me from God, when am I going to cut that off? Maybe it's not choice meat and wine and bathing, but maybe it's, I don't know, social media. I'm going to give up Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, whatever, for the next 21 days. Maybe it's that life support system that's hooked to our hand all the time, right? I'll use my phone to text and call, but I ain't getting on any other time. Maybe it's other things in your life, other addictions, other things that you know right now that is such a struggle for you. That if really pressed, you'd be honest and say, you know what, I know the stuff I look at, I know the stuff I listen to, I know the stuff I watch, whatever it may be, the things I do, I know it's coming between me and God. I need to take a break. Maybe that's us. But here's a man that through his entire life, you don't see any wavering in his integrity or his allegiance to God. And even he felt like, I need to make really sure God and I are on the same page. And if that means I need to give some stuff up, I'm going to give some stuff up temporarily so that I can cleanse my heart, cleanse my soul, cleanse my mind, so I can hear clearly what God wants me to hear. Pick up in verse 4. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing at the bank of a great river, the Tigris. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Ephesus around his waist. His body was like topaz, and his face like lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. His voice sounded like the sound of multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw this vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. There's a word called Christophany. This is a theological word, which means there are times in the Old Testament when it appears, by what we can understand, that Jesus showed up. I'll say that again. There may be times in the Old Testament where it seems, because we don't have any other logical reason but to think, Jesus just showed up. What did John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why are we supposed to believe that it didn't happen until, you know, the New Testament? Jesus was with God in the beginning. We all understand the Trinity. We just don't. We try to wrap our minds around it. We have try to make it in, you know, analogies or whatnot, but all we know is there was God the Father, God Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And so I think this is one of those times, and if you read some stuff, there's a lot of theologians that believe the same thing. This is one of these images that could be Jesus that just showed up to Daniel in the Old Testament. So just track with me with that, right? It's like the, I heard a story one time. It was like this little boy who was in Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher said, "All right, class, what's gray, has a fuzzy tail, climbs up trees, collects nuts?" Little boy raised his hand. He said, "Jesus." She said, "No, it was a squirrel." He's like, "Well, that's what I thought, but we were in Sunday school, so I thought I'd just be safe and go with Jesus," right? So I don't know, right? I may get to heaven one day, and God's going to be like, "Yeah, that wasn't Jesus." I mean, what was it? It was a squirrel. I don't know. I don't know, but we're going to go with Jesus because that's safe, right? I don't think this is a deal breaker theologically, so if you don't believe in it, that's fine. We're going to track, right? So it's possible Jesus just showed up to Daniel. And what I love about this, it says everyone else left. And the only one there that was left to see this vision of who could be Jesus, and in just a moment is going to hear the words of Jesus, was Daniel. And it says he was there alone. Now I read that. I thought, how many times in my life have I not moved for God because I was the only one that saw it and the only one that heard it? Well, God, if you really want me to do it, then you need to, then let's get a second opinion. If you really want me to do this, if you really want me to believe this, am I really supposed to believe it's you, then you need to reveal yourself to somebody else and we can talk about it and we can form a committee and we can vote and we can do it. God said, you don't need a second opinion. It's me. And sometimes, I want you guys to understand this, sometimes God's message is only for you and you alone. Maybe it's not going to be with anybody else. Maybe the trust comes in as I hear God telling me this. So I'm going to trust it and go with it until he tells me no. I don't need a second opinion. I don't need a counsel of others. I just need to trust God. And that's what happened here. Everyone else left except for Daniel. Daniel says, "I'm all alone." Jesus, that's right where I want you. So keep reading. Verse 9. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep. My face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel," this is Jesus speaking, "you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words that I'm about to speak to you and stand up,
"For I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Now, what I want you to see is those words, highly esteemed. This spirit, this angelic spirit, maybe Jesus, definitely God, said, "You are highly esteemed." When you look at this word, the word that we translate, that's translated here, highly esteemed, is actually the word that we would translate precious. Daniel, you are precious to me. You're precious. What's precious to you, right? What's it even mean? It means this is a one-of-a-kind piece of work. It is a masterpiece. There is nothing like it on the earth. Like, you are precious. You have such great value, I can't even put value on it. He looked at Daniel and said, "You are highly esteemed. You are precious to me." What I like about that is, I think it's God's way of saying, "Daniel, I don't just love you, I like you. Everything about you. I like who you are and I love who you are." That's what it means to find someone precious to you. I love all of you. I may not like all of you sometimes, but I love all of you, right? Like, who is it in my life? I was thinking about it this way. Who in my life is precious to me? And the first response was my kids. Jacob, Maria, Joshua are precious to me. Why? Because they are my kids. They came from me. You know how precious your children are to you? You love them and like them, even when they drive you crazy. You wouldn't change anything about them. They are, but they're yours. And that's God to us. God's like, "You are my son. You are my daughter. Like, I made you. You are precious to me. I love you and I like you." Everything. This morning, man, I think so many of us need to hear that whisper of God. You're precious. We feel beat up. We feel worn out. We feel tired. We feel like losers, right? A lot of times. We feel so sinful, so much garbage in our lives. We're like, I know God loves me, but he can't like me. And God is saying, "You're precious. You're precious." And not in that weird Lord of the Rings Gollum voice, "My precious." He's saying, like, "You are precious to me. Like, I love you. I like you. I created you. You are mine." I think we need to hear that this morning. Above all of our sin, all of our doubts, all of our struggles, all of our pain, all of our screw-ups, all of our deficiencies in life, God loves us and he likes us and he thinks we're precious to him. Verse 12. Then he continued, this is Jesus speaking, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in" what? "Response to them." We respond to God, he responds to us. "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." A couple things there, because this is about to get crazy. The first thing that we need to understand is this, is I love this part where he said, "Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, to humble yourself before the Lord, your Lord your God, your words were heard." He's saying, "Look, I'm not just coming into this late. The first time you prayed, when you started fasting 21 days ago, the very first words you uttered out of your mouth, I heard you. Now, I've been busy, and we're going to get into that in a second, but I'm here now. I've been working on things. I have heard every prayer you prayed, every word that came off your tongue, everything, every cry from your heart, even when you couldn't speak it, I heard it, and we've been storing it up in heaven." There are times, and this is where if you've been praying a long time for something and you're like, "I don't know if God even hears me," let this give you hope. God hears you. He has heard every prayer you've ever prayed. He's heard every cry you've ever cried. Everything your heart and soul has bellowed out to him, he has heard and made note of. He has not forgotten it. Isn't that he can't listen? If every human being on this planet, 6 billion people, prayed at one time, God would hear every single prayer just like you were the only one speaking. Because he's God. And he hears every single word, and he puts it in the little vault for you and him. He did this for Daniel, and he does it for us. When it looks like God isn't doing anything, he's doing more than you could ever understand. Because that's who he is. Let's keep reading. Let's get into kind of some fun, crazy stuff here now. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and I began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord. I am very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. You see, what happened here was 21 days Daniel had been fasting. 21 days Daniel had been praying, thinking, I don't know if God's even hearing this. Jesus shows up, this angelic being version of Jesus. He said, hey, Daniel, I heard that first prayer 21 days ago. Now, we've talked about it before. We don't live in a flesh realm. We live in a spiritual realm, right? That's where we live at. There is, if you don't want to believe it, you know, there's angels, there's demons, there's spiritual warfare going on every single day in our lives. It happens. So Jesus says, look, I was fighting this battle against this prince of Persia, which theologians believe is some type of demonic thing, right? He's like, I was in this battle with this guy, and I heard you praying. So I called Michael, and I said, Michael, let's tag in. You need to handle this guy. I need to go to Daniel because he needs me. And for 21 days, Jesus worked toward all of this stuff, clarifying everything, getting ready for Daniel. That sounds loopy, but I believe it because it's in here. Sometimes we're praying and Jesus is like, I got you. I'm coming. I'm working on some other stuff. I got things going in place. Just trust me. And Daniel says, look, I want to believe you. I want to trust you. I want to know that you hear my cry. But how can I, your servant, talk with you? Because my strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Is that you sometimes? You just feel life is so suffocating. It's like I can't even breathe. I can't get a second peace. My mind is always going. The voices in my head are always going. I always feel like I'm being attacked, you know, in relationships or friends or work or school. I mean, whatever it may be. Like, I just feel like my life is in a constant whirlwind and all the air is being sucked out of my life. And God, I'd like to believe you. I'd like to follow you. I'd like to do all this stuff. I can't even breathe right now. You ever been there? Man, I'm there like every week, right? I'm there probably about every day. I'm like, God, I'm weak. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I am so tired of fighting this battle. I don't know if I can go on anymore. I love Daniel's honesty. I want to believe you, Lord. I want to keep serving you, Lord, just like I have for the last 100 years. I just don't think I have it in me. I just don't know if I have it in me. Verse 18 and 19. If you don't listen to nothing else, listen to this. Again, the one who looked like a man, Jesus, touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed, he said. Peace, be strong now. Be strong. We're worn out. We're tired. We can't breathe. God, I just don't know if I got anything else in me. Jesus says, I get it, right? I get where you're at. But I want you to understand something. Do not be afraid of me. Do not be afraid of my touch. Do not be afraid of coming close to me, of clearing out your life of a bunch of garbage so we can be together intimately. Do not be afraid. You are precious. You are highly esteemed. You are a one-of-a-kind work of art. You are a masterpiece. You are an adopted son, adopted daughter of the Most High God. Be strong now. Be strong. And this morning, are you willing to let God touch you like that? If you're willing to let God touch you, he will renew your strength. If you don't have peace in your life, he's the only one that can bring you peace. If your life is full of worry and fear and anxiety, the only thing that's going to ultimately remove a lot of the spiritual elements of that is giving it to Jesus and letting him touch you. If you're like, Lord, I just feel weak. The same command and the same promise that God, Jesus, gave Daniel is the same thing he's telling you this morning. Nothing has changed. Be strong now. Let me touch you. Let me bring you the peace you crave. Let me give you the strength that you need to carry on. We're all worn out. We're all tired. We all feel suffocated, right? Let's face it. We've all been praying for things in our lives, whether it's a week, a month, 10 years, 100 years. We wonder, man, does God even hear me? Absolutely. Every prayer, every cry, God has heard you. God is working on things that we don't know he's working on right now. Oh, God, I can't find Mr. Right, Mrs. Right. That's because I'm getting somebody special for you. I don't want to give you Mr. Wrong, so I'm working on Mr. Right. I'm fixing them just like I'm fixing you. But God, we're ready to have a kid right now. Oh, you're going to have a kid. You just wait. It may be the way you think. It may not be the way you think, but I'm about to give you somebody. God, I just need a new job. Oh, I know you need a job. And I got to move some people out of place, and I got to move some stuff around, but you got to trust me. So for right now, I need you to be a light in the job you're in. Just like Daniel had to be a light in his job, king after king, decade after decade, doing jobs he didn't want to do. But I'm going to go, I'm going to show up every day, I'm going to be a light until God moves me to a new job. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, I'm tired, I'm beat up, I'm worn. God, when can you give me this rest? Oh, it's coming. I got you. I hadn't forgot about you because you're precious. You're my precious. I love you. I love you. I got you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for just this amazing story in Daniel's life, for the times in our lives that life doesn't make sense and we want to give up, throw in the towel, quit, walk out, get angry, get jealous, whatever. God, let Daniel's story be a story of hope. That if we're faithful, if we do our part, if we respond, and maybe that response needs to be a response of fasting, maybe that response needs to be just being patient. I don't know. But you promise us, you will respond to us as we respond to you. God, you have promised that you will give us peace. You will take away our fear. You will remove the doubt, the anxiety, the depression from our lives. You will make us whole. You will make us strong. Why? Because we are precious to you. Even when we don't feel precious, even when we feel broken, even when we feel like we may be the worst human on this earth, God, you see us as precious. Because our feelings will lie to us, this world will lie to us, and we know the enemy lies to us. Let us hear the truth this morning. As the band sings this final song, let this be a song of response in your heart. What is it that you need to trust God with this morning? Do you need to trust him with your life? Do you need to trust him with that thing that you've been praying for, that maybe you gave up on and you stopped praying for? That person in your life that needs to come see Jesus. Maybe the things in your life that you struggle with, addictions or depressions or anxieties. Maybe it's that thing that you feel like you want, that special person, the child, whatever it may be, healing in a marriage, I don't know. But let this song just marinate on your heart and spirit this morning. As you think about this life of Daniel, if you think about these words from the Lord, these incredible words, do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed. Peace. Be strong now. be strong.